Hey, good morning, Ozark. How we doing? Man, it is the last week of classes, Shane. It's hard to believe that we're here. We're getting kind there. We're doing it. Well, we can't believe it. But it is the last chapel of the semester today, and we're so excited to be together. One encouragement, you guys got this. You're almost there, like half a week of classes left.
Done it before.
And then finals. Yeah, D stands for diploma, right, Shane?
No.
No.
But yes.
We want you to keep aspiring to great things. So here's the deal. In this last chapel service, we have this neat opportunity, Shane, because we just on Sunday, 2 days ago, moved into the season of Advent. And so we have an opportunity today to have an Advent worship service. But as you and I started talking about this, we realized, like, you know, I think maybe we know the word Advent, or maybe we know that Christmas is a thing, yeah, and that Advent has something to do with it, but maybe, like, in totality, we don't all know what it is or why we do it or what it's all about. And so we thought, hey, let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
To start today, and just kind of invite everyone into that conversation with us.
Well, and honestly, when we were discussing, I was thinking, I was like, you know, when I was a student, I'd grown up in the church my whole life. I'd never heard the word Advent. I mean, I was like 18 to 22, yeah, had never heard of it. I don't even think Advent really came into my vocabulary for even like a decade after that. And yet now, I find Advent to be like this essential component of the Christmas season. So for me, it's this strange, like, never really knew it. Now it is essential type of piece in my life. Is your story comparable to that? Or
yeah, it very much is. Like, I think growing up, I had like an Advent calendar where you open the door and there's chocolate. But I didn't realize at all that the entire purpose of an Advent calendar is to like help count down to the coming of Jesus and how it helps us prepare and wait for that time. And so same thing for me. I went to a church in college where they really leaned into talking about Advent and what it was. And I was like, oh my word, this is a beautiful thing. Like, I didn't know that Advent was from a Latin word, Adventus, you know? And so like all of that was revelatory for me, but it has become the season of Advent, I think my favorite season of the entire year.
And I think what it brings to my world is that we don't always do this well, kind of in the Protestant side of things.
Yeah.
And that's orienting space and time around Christ.
Yes.
Like allowing the rhythms of the seasons to actually be something that prompts reflection, in this case, on the coming of Christ. Because typically growing up, you know, it's kind of like we relegate the most significant moments of the Christian calendar to like a day or a weekend, you know, Christmas Day or maybe Christmas Eve if your church is crazy, you know, but then Easter, you know. But to have these extended time periods leading up to these days to me have been incredibly powerful, because it's challenging me to introduce the character of God into the coming of the season, specifically patience, like this waiting that God persistently does with me.
Yes.
We now get to enact it in this season of receiving the King.
Yeah, and because I love that waiting concept, like this idea that for so long people were waiting on this promised coming Messiah.
Yeah.
And finally he came. A lot of people didn't realize it, even unto his death. But, you know, it was him. That's why we're all here today. And, but Shane, what's crazy and cool is that while we waited, and we still celebrate that waiting today, there's also a second waiting we celebrate, and that is when Jesus will come again. And I love is that for us here in 2023, we're in a reality in between those two times.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yes, we're going to continue to wait and reflect on Jesus, the Christ child coming, but also get to look ahead to the second coming and what that means for our waiting. And that means so much to me.
Yeah, and I think the waiting is something that we just overlook too often. Like, we are preparing ourselves to receive the incarnate God. And like the grandeur of who he is makes me stop and go, you know what? He deserves a patient procession. Yeah. Like his significance and his magnificence deserves me focusing on emptying space to receive more of him. And that for me is what Advent's all about.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a season where everybody's filling space and filling time with rushing and presence. And Advent for me is this time of slowing down, of emptying space so that we can receive more of the King.
Yeah. Look, because the world is speeding up right now.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all that rush, our job is to slow down.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult for me. I don't know about you, but it's like, I have to be so intentional to stop and wait for that filling up. And I love this idea too that you just said of like, in this waiting that we do in the season of Advent, as we anticipate the coming of Christ, I often like to make the joke, I'm to the point now where I anticipate the anticipation. Like we hit the Fozzoween and I'm like, all right, I'm waiting for Advent, you know?
Holidays matter.
Yes.
The Fozzoween.
But Shane, it's like, as you just said, as we work at slowing down, as things speed up, as we work at putting out that which is not of Christ to take on that which is, that space you talked about, as we create space in our lives, it allows us to bring in certain things of Jesus.
Absolutely. And ultimately, it's in enacting what Christ did whenever he came here. You know, this emptying of himself in order to take on the flesh. And that's, we are enacting the Christ event as we are preparing to receive Christ.
Yeah. And those specific things, I love it because there's like this ordered time. You know, we were talking about how Advent affords us the opportunity to reorient our reality to Jesus' reality, to the time of God rather than our own time or what the secular calendar would tell us time is supposed to be. And there's this ordered movement towards the coming of Jesus in as we celebrate these 4 weeks of Advent, which again started Sunday, and we've got those 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And we look at taking on hope and peace and joy and love. You know, we see it on the screens beside us here. These four themes that Advent takes on. And I love the way that helps progress us towards Jesus coming.
Yeah, and I love the progression of hope, peace, joy, and love. Because for me, it's these concentric circles. You know, whenever we are the furthest away from God is whenever we need hope the most. But then peace draws us in one step closer to receiving him. And joy is this shifting of our gaze and this resiliency of this longing. And then we ultimately get to unite with love. So what I love about Advent is it's moving us in concentric circles closer to receive the King. Wow. In a sense, like drawing us closer like the Magi to the manger itself.
And that is, in a nutshell, what Advent is all about, is preparing us to move in that direction of Jesus coming.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about Advent is the imagery that helps us do that, which is this little thing sitting right in front of us. Folks, for those of you who might not know, this is called an Advent wreath. An Advent wreath helps us do exactly what Shane just talked about. I love those concentric circles that you're looking at, is that as we move closer and closer to the coming of Christ that we celebrate, both the baby and looking forward to when he comes again, we have things that help us look towards that. And so with this Advent wreath, you see five candles sitting there in front of you. Three purple, one pink, and that white one in the middle. And each week of the 4 weeks of Advent, what we do is we light another one of those candles to help see that light getting closer. And so on week one of Advent, hope that we're in right now, like we would light that first purple one. And then the next week, hope and peace, and then hope, peace, and joy is the pink one. Hope, peace, joy, and love in week four. And Shane, the imagery of it is so cool to me. What happens when you light a candle? What does it do?
It burns. I'm fairly confident. I'm not a Boy Scout, but I'm fairly confident.
Man, yes, it burns, and it melts down. And I love this imagery because as it melts down, as we get to Christmas Eve, they've melted so low, these outer ones, that white pillar in the middle, the Christ candle, is what is revealed. Little spoiler alert up to Easter, when we get to a Good Friday service, we've been lighting that Christ candle the entire spring, and at a Good Friday service, as we snuff out the candles to represent Jesus' life being snuffed out, it is that very Christ candle that we snuff out at the end of that to sit in the of the grave before Easter Sunday. So the imagery of this dude is wild to me.
Now, I love this, but one of the things you keep mentioning is weeks and even Christmas, Easter. So we're having an Advent service. My question is, I'm not planning on, no offense, I love you all, but next week is finals week.
It is.
So we don't have 4 weeks to engage this. So what is your goal with us introducing Advent this morning?
That's a great question. Shane, here's what I want to do today. Is we're going to move through all 4 weeks of Advent today in our chapel service.
Okay.
And so we're going to move from start with hope, move to peace, joy, and eventually love, so that we together as an Ozark community can engage in the entirety of Advent, just in a really super truncated, abridged sort of way. And I love what the frontline team that planned this service has done with this. Each of these sections, we're going to have somebody that represents a different group in the Ozark community come and be our candle lighter. And as we move through each of those candlelighting moments, it's going to move us through those four hope, peace, joy, and love sections. So to start, Junpei Noda is going to come and light the hope candle representing our international students on campus. After that, Michaela Aiden is going to come light the peace candle representing the American students. We'll have Shelley Caswell after that from down in the cafeteria representing Ozark staff come light the joy candle. And then we'll wrap things up with Darren King as a member of the faculty lighting the candle of love. And so just a way to show the fullness of our community together. And so it's just a really neat opportunity while abridged to move all the way through the Advent season in one service. Shane, thinking of that, want to go ahead and move into that, invite Junpei to come on up and get us going. But just thinking about this idea of inviting Christ to come, I'd love it if you just kicked us off in that way and just prayed a prayer of invocation to invite Christ.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Yeah, let's pray. Lord Jesus, oh, Father God, I am so grateful that you're patient with me. And Father, I pray that we can honor you, not just in this service, but Lord, in this season of patiently waiting for your coming, patiently waiting, Lord, for your hope to move us to peace, and your peace, Lord, to move us to joy, and your joy, Lord, to unite us to your love. And so, Father, I do pray a blessing over this hour where we take this space and we take this time in order to celebrate the fact, Lord, that you invaded our space and time in order to draw us into your space and time, not just in the kingdom that will come, but Lord, in this moment here. May, Father, we embrace your flesh. May, Father, we create a greater capacity to receive all of you. And it's in your name we pray. Jesus, amen.
Amen. So, Junpei, why don't you come? And I just want to invite you guys as we sing and engage in other elements of worship today to take kind of whatever posture you want. If you want to stand, that's great. If you want to kneel or sit, whatever that makes sense for you as we sing is wonderful. But right now, Junpei is going to come and start us off. Thanks, brother.
Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. イエスは言った。私が世の光です。私に従う者は決して闇の中を歩むことがなく命の光を持ちます。Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. 私たちはキリストの来るべき光の印としてこの希望のろうそくに火を灯します。We light this candle of hope as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
At this time, we're going to transition into a time of scripture reading. So we're going to be reading a Psalms. I'll be starting off and I'll read a line and then you're going to respond to the prompt. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. If you, Lord, keep a record of sin, Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, so that we with reverence serve you.
I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope.
We wait for the Lord, our watch and wait for the Lord.
Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
He himself will redeem Israel from all
his
sins.
Amen.
Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We light this candle of peace as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
Amen. I would love it if you guys would read John 16, verse 33 with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Isaiah 49:6, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and I bring back these of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We light this candle of joy as a sign of the coming Christ.
The songs we sing are just forms of communal prayers, because they are prayers that we are joining together as one body and declaring as a truth. Now, we want to take some time to individually pray communally during this service as we wrap up this section of the service that is about joy. And I'll explain what I mean in a second. First, we want to recognize feeling joy when life is good. Joy is something that's pretty easy to feel when things are going well. And I'm sure that we all can see in some way the joy that surrounds us, whether it be through the blessings that God has given us, even the friends that have become family around us. Now, I want us to take some time and thank God for that joy in something that may be a little uncomfortable. This, what we're going to do next is all together pray out loud and thank God for that. Does that make sense? All right, let's take the next minute or so and let's do that together. Now, as we wrap up, reflecting on the joy that God has blessed us with when times are good, let's shift our focus. Everyone has simultaneous things in their life, things that are great and things that are hard. And let's shift our focus to the reality that life can be hard and we still can have joy in those times. If you are going through a time that it's hard to find joy and it's hard to feel the presence of God, know that you're not alone. Joy isn't something that we receive once we go through hard times. It's something we get to experience in the midst of everything, even in our darkest moments. A large part of my own testimony is the joy that God has continually provided me with over these last couple years after losing my dad to cancer. Even in the times that it felt like he was nowhere near me and nowhere near my side, he was still blessing me with such grand glimpses of joy. Things like loving friends and loving family and next steps that I can take to keep moving forward. So, in this next minute, let's pray about that and let's thank God for the joy that he provides us, even in our hardest times. Well, in this service, as we come to the end of celebrating joy and signifying this third candle in the ring, let's reflect on the joy that only Christ can bring. The joy that he did bring when he came down and walked with us 2,000 years ago. I'm sure we can all see the joy that Jesus brings into our hearts through faith and through the fellowship of those around us. Like I said, the friends that have become family sitting by us all today. As we move through the end of this service, and as we enter into this year's time of Advent, let's reflect on that joy, and let's ask God that we can be reflections of the light and the joy that he brings. Let's spend another minute praying together.
Isaiah 58:8 says, then Your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so we light this candle of love as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
Man, what a joy this has been to walk through this time together this morning. You guys can have a seat. Shane asked me as we were talking earlier, like, all right, Isaac, I'm done. Next week's finals. Like, how are we going to walk all the way through this? And so we've done it. And so just want to first off express a massive word of gratitude to everyone who has put the time into planning and pulling this together, from the frontline team to the choir to our candlelighters to all the production folks, Sammy Snow and all her behind-the-scenes stuff. Just massive thank you to everyone for this opportunity today. Now, because we're not going to be together in the fullness of Advent and beyond, that also means we're not going to be together for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And so it just feels like it would be a big miss if we went all this way and didn't also engage in the Christmas Eve moment. And so that's what we're going to do together now before we're dismissed. So what's going to happen, many of you at a Christmas Eve service have held a candle just like you have right now. Hopefully you received one of these on the way in. If not, I think there are probably more out there. But what you may or may not have realized is that we don't just light it because it looks cool and the room is dark and it's a whole thing. We actually light this Christ candle. And then from the Christ candle, we each take our own light, and it is representative of the light of Christ being spread throughout the entirety of the world. And, you know, hopefully you've already thought, oh, well, it's cool when we have a candlelight service. But now you see the deeper and richer imagery of it, of taking this light of the Savior of the world and spreading it out and lighting a dark room in a beautiful way. So that's what we're going to do right now. So I have to ask a couple things of you, because there's very specific fire marshal code things that allow this to happen. So as the light is brought to you, what's cool is our candlelighters are going to bring it around. So Junpei and Darren are going to bring it up to the balcony, and Shelly and Michaela are going to start lighting the floor. Just a reminder about how it goes. If your candle is lit, you never tip it. You only tip it if you're the unlit light. So if I was taking my light, I would tip it to the Christ candle and so on, so that we're not dripping any wax. And so we're going to do that. We're going to work at spreading this light throughout the room. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and light the Christ candle, and then I'm going to invite these guys up, and I'm going to give us a few more instructions as we start spreading the light of Christ throughout the room. Here's what's going to happen from here. Once we get the light spread all the way throughout the room, we're going to dim the lights, and we're going to sing together. One of the things you might have noticed in our Advent service is that we're not singing Christmas songs because we're looking forward to the Christ coming. So we sang a lot of songs of waiting and hopeful anticipation and expectation. But as we make this flip to Christmas Eve, we're going to sing together Silent Night. After we finish singing Silent Night, you're going to be dismissed by the screens. I'm not going to say anything else. There's a trash can, a metal one right back down here by where Jerry's standing, and another one in the balcony right at the back. What we want to ask you to do is go ahead, before you start moving, and extinguish your candle. Just be very wise to put a hand behind it, blow it out, and before you put it in the trash can, make sure it's dried off a little bit. And as you go out into the lobby, we want to remember that one of the greatest gifts we have and one of the greatest gifts Jesus has given us is one another in our community. And so in the lobby, these guys had the idea, hey, what if we had just a little time of fellowship after we finished? And so in the lobby, there are cookies and hot chocolate for you to be able to share in together. The hot chocolate came with lids. They don't fit. So there's a lid on your hot chocolate. Just take that off. It's just keeping it warm for you, and take a cup. We want to ask you to just take one cookie until everyone has had a chance. There's a lot of them, but we want to make sure everyone gets one. And then we want to ask you to not rush off. We want to ask you to hang out in the lobby and fellowship with this Ozark community. This is the last time this semester we're all going to be together. And so please lean into that and experience that moment in neat and meaningful ways. And so we're doing a great job. We just got, I think, one more section to go. And so what I'm going to do is just be quiet. And once all the lights are spread, we'll dim the lights. And then we're going to sing Silent Night together.